gather to join. Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned. That's how I come
alive. That's how I change my world. So as the custom is, we want to read our anchor scriptures. Today, our first anchor scripture will be in the book of Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 to 8. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 to 8, our first reading. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Second reading, Psalm 94, verse 20 to 23. Psalm 94, verse 20 to 23. Good. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. Our last verse. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Our last reading, as we all read together, Matthew chapter 6 verse 13, which I believe you all know this scripture. If indeed you went to Sunday school, you should know what Matthew chapter 6 verse 11 downwards says. So the verse 13, Matthew chapter 6 verse 13, we are going to read together. Let's go. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's take it again. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As it please the Lord, we still want to continue in our new series that we have started. We are at war. Amen. And it seems some of you are already experiencing warfare. Don't put it on this team. The war has already been there before I even start talking about it. Hallelujah. So we are still on the series We Are at War, the first sub-series, Understanding the War. And last week we started with the second phase of Understanding the War, which is the nature of the war. And we titled our message, A False Ally, A Slave Master, and The Adversary. We did a part one last week, which we focused on one of the system called the false ally. So we're going to continue today on the aspect of the slave master. Hallelujah. Now, from last week's message, we established that one nature of the warfare we are facing is a rebellious warfare. This warfare operates through a false ally initiative upon which three systems coming together to be called world helps in executing this rebellious warfare against God and his kingdom. So all that we spoke about last week was on this thing. We said that the warfare that we are involved, or the warfare going on, is first of all a warfare of what? Rebellion. And we found out that the rebellion was successful through an initiative called a false ally. So last week we saw that the devil, through false ally, was able to build a system called world, which is divided on three things. What is the first one? The Sodom-Gomorrah principle. That's the last of what? The flesh. Then we have what? The Egyptian principle. That's the last of what? The eyes. And then we have what? The Babylonian system called the pride of life. These three systems was actually built together with man, Lucifer, as a false ally. Build this system, and all that this system is up to is to rebel against God. So the first phase of the war is rebellion. So the devil calls you and makes you participant of the warfare by one, teaching you how to hate God; two, making sure that you don't have a space to even consider God in your life; and the third one, to make sure that you can attain God's ends by your own means. That's all. So rebellion of man is number one, to hate God. You hate God. You are told to hate God because you believe that God does not want you to enjoy the world. That's why he doesn't want you to drink alcohol. That's why God doesn't want you to fornicate. So God hates you. That is the pleasures of the world. God is denying you. The Egyptian system is teaching us that man must work. If you don't work, you cannot. So you don't have time for God. And it's an act of rebellion. Because I said, remember the Lord your God. Do you get the point? And then the Babylonians tell you that, oh, you can attain your God status without using God's means. You can do it by other means. Hallelujah. So that is what we looked at last week. And I just want to end it there so that we can move into today's message. Now, the second phase of the nature of the warfare is the warfare of evil and wickedness. So not only is the war on the face of what? Rebellion. There's an aspect of that war that is about evil and what? Wickedness. And that evil and wickedness is initiated through the system called slavery. So today we are going to talk about the slave master. Wickedness and evil is moving on this earth because a system has been put in place to make sure that man and woman or men on earth can be able to express what? Wickedness. Hallelujah. Now let's start. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 to 14, not Elder Isaiah. I'm talking of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Now, our ultimate scripture that we laid foundation with on this matter of warfare, we find out that ultimate goal for Lucifer starting this war was to be the Most High, which means possessor of what? Heaven and what? And earth. If you look at the five I statement of Lucifer, all is summed up into one thing. I will be the what? The Most High. El Elyon. So the ultimate goal for the warfare was what? To become what? El Elyon. That is, Lucifer, after seeing all that comes with ownership or being the owner of something, for God he still worship. Now, in the account of Ezekiel chapter 28, we found out the Bible said he was in the Garden of Eden. He had a throne. In Isaiah chapter 14, he himself said, I shall exalt my throne. And in Ezekiel, the Bible established that he was in the Garden of Eden. And by scriptures, we know that Eden is on earth. And Eden is the place that God even gave to Adam, through which he asked him to what? Take care of the earth. So Lucifer, for God, he still worship because of what he saw that comes with what? Ownership. So he decided to forego his still worship of the earth given to him to rather pursue ownership. He wanted to own something as close as to what God has, which he stated clearly in his mission statement. So what happened is that when Lucifer saw what it means to be El Elyon, what comes along with what being El Elyon, as I said in the first message, that El Elyon is the only person who is what to be worshipped. That is why God instructed the people of Israel that worship no any other God apart from, because I am the only one who can be worshipped. I am El Elyon. Nobody else can be the Most High. So when Lucifer saw what comes along, when the 24 elders and all the creatures were giving God all this worship, he said, if I also become an owner, then I could also be a part. I can share in this very beautiful thing that God is sharing. So he decided to forsake what? Still worship. Why am I saying he forsook still worship? Now, in the principle of kingdom, the ultimate ownership belongs to the king. Citizens only possess and manage resources in trust under the king's authority as established in kingdom principle. And we know that God's system is a kingdom system. That is why in Jesus' teaching, he taught us that we pray in this manner, our Father who art in heaven, what happens? Thy kingdom come. Because the principles of God's governance is what? On kingdom principle. And then in kingdom, nobody owns anything. It is the king that holds everything. Everybody is a steward. So a moment you want to be an owner, then this means that you want to go against the principles of what? Kingdom. Now let's read a scripture here, Psalms 24 verse 1. Psalms 24 verse 1. The Bible says, the earth is what? The Lord's. And all it what? Fullness. The world. So he didn't even live all in the earth. Now it comes to what? The world. Now when we talk about the world here, we're not talking about cosmos. We are talking of all planetary bodies and all other things that God has created to what? Orbit around this earth. So when we talk of the world, all the things that orbit around this earth is what? Part. Some people went to the moon, right? The moon is part of the world. We have all, and now is it still 11 or 9? How many planets we have? I'm still confused. The science. It's still 9. At a point, I heard there was another 2 discovered. It's 8. So you people, where should we stand now? So you let's stick to 3. We know of what? Mercury, Mars, and what? Earth, right? And then can you say, whom you may answer, we will move on with our life. Amen. We will move on with our life. But all these things forms what you call the world. The Bible was very specific about that. The world and those who dwell therein. So there is no space of ownership for anybody. Nobody has ownership. But what is in is that God put those things in trust of you as a steward to what? Take care of them. That is kingdom principle. So your body can be an owner. But Lucifer said no. It takes ownership to become El Elyon. Because that is the possessor of what? The heavens and what? The earth. So therefore, I have to find ways and means to what? Become an owner. So that this beautiful thing I see God enjoying, I could also what? Now, how do you become an owner in a kingdom? There are only 2 ways. Number 1. To become an owner in a kingdom, you have to either seize a portion of the kingdom and declare your independence from the main kingdom. If you are in the Ashanti kingdom and you want to own a land in the Ashanti kingdom, you know, King Osei Tutu the second has told us that nobody owns anything in his kingdom. Everything belongs to him. Now, should any of the kings in the kingdom decide that, oh, king, today I also want to be called owner of a land, the first way the person can execute that is to seize a portion of the land and declare that land, that this place does not belong to you. Do you know it happens in churches? Men of God who start the church send associate to take care of the church. And when the associate sees what comes along with being overseer, papa, being called papa, after some time, headquarters, from today, you don't have any interest here. Change the name of the church, block everybody. That is a way to become an owner of a kingdom. To become an owner in a kingdom, you have to declare it. And as a rebel, seize part of what? It. Are you with me? Or number 2, you overthrow the king to become what? King. So when Lucifer conceived the idea of to own rather than being a steward in the kingdom, he had only 2 options to make this a reality. Number 1, to overthrow the king and become the king himself. Or seize a portion of what? The kingdom, and declare it independent from what? The main kingdom. Now let's look at what Lucifer did. Lucifer decided to pursue the second option first. So when Lucifer pursued the option of overthrowing the king, he lost the war before it even started. Now let's look at how Jesus narrated how he lost the war in the book of Luke chapter 10 verse 18. So the first thing Lucifer did to attain that interest of being an owner in the kingdom was to what? To overthrow the king. So the Bible said there was war in heaven. Now Jesus, who was a first hand witness of the war, listen to what he said. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from what? Heaven. That is the manner in which he lost the war. Like a flash. You see, having a lightning, as like a flash, within a second he lost the war. God didn't even move, but a flash, he lost the war. So the first means by which he decided to pursue his agenda to own something in the kingdom, to be called El Elyon, he lost it. So now he's left with what? 1 option. That is, he should be able to find a part of what? The kingdom, seize it, and declare it independent from what? The main kingdom. By so, he can now also be what? An owner of what? A kingdom. And now can call himself what? God. Hallelujah. Now let's move on. So, what happened? As from last week, we saw that the only place his rebellion was giving place to express itself was the earth realm. As I explained last week, I told you that Lucifer was casted to the earth realm for 2 reasons. Number 1, to bring judgment to his world at then. Because when he rebelled, he had to convince his world. The Bible said, the one who deceives the whole world. So the deception started with the world he was ruling over. He deceived them to believe that he could be able to succeed. So when judgment came, he and his world has to receive what? The judgment. And his world was what? Positioned or domiciled on the earth. Now the second reason is that what he did was a seed conceived that needed what? Opportunity to grow. Now in all the things that God created, it was only earth that God gave life of expression. So anything that can have life or express life, growth, can manifest itself on earth. And God permitted it because God wants his rebellion to grow to the full maturity. Then you prove to all creation that no one rebels against me and succeeds. So the earth became the only place for Lucifer's rebellion to have expression on these two cause. Now what happened is that when he came on earth, even though his rebellion was allowed to express itself, the authority to express his rebellion was completely stripped from him when God gave dominion of his earth to man and man only. Are we on the same page? Now let me explain this issue of dominion. When God gave dominion to man, as I said last week, the statement God made sealed the fate of Lucifer as at then, which is, let us make man and let him. Now that creature God created was not a spirit being. Lucifer is a spirit because he's an angel. Man is not a spirit being. Man is a spiritual being. So the only thing that can have expression of dominion on this earth, authority to what? To determine things on this earth, must be a spiritual being. Now how God did it was that he has to give a legal access to be your spiritual. That is to have what? Flesh, body. And to be born by what? A woman. So you see, to be born of a woman is a very great deal in the spirit realm. In Genesis chapter 3, when God said the seed of the woman will crush you, he was telling Lucifer that the people who can deal with you are those who are born of a woman. So coming out of the canal of a woman is the most important thing to give you authority to express dominion here. So Lucifer's faith was sealed because he's a spirit being and he doesn't have what it takes to manifest as what? A spiritual being. However, the guy is, you see, the Bible said he's a wise serpent. He found a loophole, a small loophole to try something. That is, God also sealed his faith of what? Authority on the earth, because he's also a spirit being. And it's only man that is a being to have expression. So both God and Lucifer now needs man's permission to what? Express themselves. So Lucifer said, okay, why don't I give a try and see if this man would rather want me to be his ally rather than God's ally, as I spoke about last week. Now let's move on. I want to settle a matter on issue of dominion and ownership. When the Bible says God gave dominion of the earth to man, God didn't give ownership, because the earth is an extension of God's kingdom, which means man can only be a steward of it, but not what? Owner. It's against the principles of what? Kingdom. That we have two owners. Do you understand? So what God gave to man called dominion was not ownership. That's why the Bible has to state it clear in the book of Psalms 24. That the earth is of the Lord. So as you sit here, I hope most of you have heard of this Pentecost song. And as I said, I walk by any ra, any munia ma, what's the sabo ubui? Ura no beba, awa beshwe, obiara beba beyi. It's because in the kingdom there can't be two owners. I hope you're on the same page. So hence God gave man a dependent ownership, an owner of the earth, dependent on what? The creator of the earth, called delegated authority. So when we talk of the dominion we have, it simply means delegated what? Authority. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to do what? He says to, and gave it to him. What did he say? To tend and not. That is what delegated authority. It is your responsibility to make sure that this place I've given to you is tended and not kept. That is all. But you don't, it doesn't belong to you. That is delegated authority. And that is the dominion that God gave us. Are we on the same page? Why am I saying this? Because man was the one who was supposed to tend and keep it. Man could decide how he would tend it. Man could decide how he would what? He'll keep it. In the tending and keeping, man decided to ally with what? Lucifer, and voted system of tending and keeping the earth, and gave Lucifer a place. I've said all these things last week, so I just want to quickly move on. Hence, Lucifer was able to achieve his desire of ownership through false ally by cutting the earth off from God's rule to be under his ruling. So when man chose to be independent from God by the advice of Lucifer, It means that he listening to whatever. So for whom you obey, to him you are what? A slave. So when Lucifer obeyed the instructions and directions of what? When Adam obeyed the instructions and directions of Lucifer, Lucifer now became the voice of conscience and controller of him, and then gave him a space as an ally. Last week I explained what an ally is. Somebody who has ownership of your space as a result of what? Both of you are agreeing to what? Pursue one purpose. So Lucifer now had a place. Therefore, what he desired, that he will own something, now man gave him a space to create something. Are we on the same page? Now let's move on. That is why the Bible calls him the ruler of this world. John chapter 12 verse 31. Lucifer became ruler because he seek to what? Rule, not just as steward, but as what? An owner. And through force ally with man, he was able to what? Attain that by creating a system, which is called what? The world. Now listen, he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of what? This world will be what? Cast out. So God recognized him as a ruler because of the false ally he built with man. Now, what did this ruler of this world did with this rulership? Now, this is where we are coming in. The first thing that is important about ruling is throne. Follow me very well. Every kingdom has a throne which the king sits upon to rule the kingdom. Now, we know that God sits upon a throne called the throne of grace. How many of you know that? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Now let us therefore come boldly before the throne room of what? Grace. That we may what? Obtain grace and find mercy in times of what? So obviously God sits on a throne called the throne of what? Grace. Now the nature of this throne, or the foundation of this throne, or the nature of it, is in righteousness, justice, mercy, and truth. Psalm 89 verse 14. Said the foundation of your throne is what? Justice and what? Righteousness. And mercy and truth goes what? Before it. So although the throne is grace that God sits upon, when you get close to the throne, you see that the foundations of it, which is the nature of it, is what? Righteousness and what? Justice. And then what? Truth and what? Mercy goes ahead of what? The throne. So for every ruler to rule, the ruler needs what? A throne. Are you on the same page? And we know that God, as the ruler of a kingdom, has a throne. Now, when Lucifer succeeded in getting this earth declared independent from God's rulership, what was the throne that he created? And what is the nature of the throne? That is what leads us to the second phase of the war. The throne Lucifer created is called the throne of what? Iniquity. Lucifer, with the help of man, made the earth realm independent from God's rule and established a new kingdom, which the Bible called the world, then world, or this world. A throne is needed for the ruler of this world to sit on to govern this kingdom. This throne is called the throne of iniquity, and it brings to us the second phase of what? The war. Now, Psalm 94 verse 20. Our second reading says, shall the throne of iniquity. Psalm 94 verse 20. Shall the throne of what? Iniquity, which devises what? Evil by law, have fellowship with you. Lucifer also sits on the throne to rule his kingdom. The name of that throne is the throne of what? Iniquity. What is the nature of the throne? I've given you the nature of God's throne. The nature of God's throne is what? Righteousness and what? Justice. And mercy and what? Truth God goes ahead of it. Let's examine the nature of Lucifer's throne. The nature of his throne of iniquity is wickedness, injustice, cruelty, and falsehood. He has just replaced God's own. So the foundation of his throne is what? Wickedness and injustice. Cruelty and falsehood goes what? Ahead of it. And that's what we are going to examine today. So... So, because of the nature of this throne, one reality we live with on this earth is that there is always sufficiency of evil in a day. Now, Lucifer has declared this realm his own by the partnership of man to govern. Now, you see, the nature of the throne influences what goes on in the throne, in the territory over there. Because his throne is iniquity, and the nature of the throne is wickedness and injustice, even Jesus admitted that sufficiency is evil for each day. So go to the, let's read Matthew chapter 6 verse 34. The way Jesus put it is very funny. He was just trying to tell you that, why do you think you want to worry about tomorrow? You are not even done dealing with the evil that is waiting you for today. You finish with today's evil, then you can now think about tomorrow's evil. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficiency for the day, sufficient for the day is what? Its own what? Trouble. Other verses say it's what? Evil thereof. Why? Every day. That's why you have this account statement that Adetina and Tinsemonia. Because the throne that rules this world that we are in, I want to establish for you, is the throne of iniquity. The nature is evil and injustice, wickedness, cruelty, falsehood. So there is no way that you wake up in a day that you not hear of anything that is a resemblance of what? The territory. Let's move on. As rebellion is always to oppose a power or to be at the opposite side in all aspects, the throne for the ruler of this world who opposes God surely is opposite to the nature of God's throne. I hope you are on the same page now. Okay. Now, let's look at the two key natures of the throne that falls within the warfare. The throne is established on wickedness and evil. Now, evil is made up of injustice, cruelty, and falsehood. Now, let's look at evil first. What is evil? By simple definition, evil is the corruption or perversion of good. Evil is that which is morally wrong, harmful, corrupt, destructive, or opposed what is good. So anytime we talk about evil, in simple terms, we are talking about corruption or perversion of good. So we can refer to evil as actions, intentions, systems, or influences that produces suffering, injustice, deception, or ruin. That is the nature of the throne. Okay. Now let's look at some forms of evil. There are two major forms of evil. Spiritual evil. These are forces or influence that opposes God and truth. Spiritual evil. That is one. Okay. I said these things, we are going to talk about them. So I'm just, we are scratching. If not, we'll keep long here. So we have to move on. Number two, moral evil. We'll come back to them. Also called the evil of the soul. These are wrong choices made by people under the influence of spiritual evil. Have you ever heard somebody doing something wrong and they ask you, say it is the work of the devil? It's never a lie, it's true. How many of you have ever said that before? Forgive me. It is not me. It is the work of what? The devil. Hey, what's up, bro? But it's true. It's true because the throne that he rules upon is the throne of what? Iniquity. And out of that, so the spiritual evil always play a role in what? The evil of the soul. Examples of what? This evil, the moral evil, is murder, cruelty, betrayal, etc. I've given an example of the moral evil. So when people make wrong choices, okay, and they are caught, the first person they have to blame is the devil. Because they are responding to what? The reality of the throne. That is what's influencing their life. So don't blame people when they say it is the devil. It is true. That's what we have to do with this warfare. It's true. We have to deal. See, this warfare, we have to be serious, because somebody will do you evil and will blame Lucifer or blame the devil, and it's right to blame the devil. You can't hold him responsible. When I was doing these studies, I understood a lot of things. When the Bible said we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. I understood a lot of stuff. We normally begin to hate people and target the individuals. But the truth of the matter is that there is a spiritual evil influencing that soul to do evil. And I'll show you here. So anytime somebody comes to hurt you, the person has the right to tell that it's not him or her. It is an influence. He's on an alcohol. It's just like you going to insult your mother-in-law. When you woke up, you say, oh, I took alcohol. You know, at that instance, you know, even the elders, like, when they take you to the elders can at least pity you because they know that when you take alcohol, you can say anything. That's why we call it kikebicha odeyin wasi. So whenever somebody wants to do evil, he can hide under the shelter of what? Lucifer. Saying that it was the devil and play you wicked. After that, when you catch him, he will confess and say that it is not me. And you can't do anything about it. Amen. When spiritual evil brings out the moral evil in men, do you know what we do? We see natural evil like death, disasters. Do you know somebody can just get up and decide that, oh, today we will go to war? It's an expression of natural evil that has come as a result of what? The spiritual evil influencing what? The soul of man, the evil in the soul of man. Are you on the same page? Okay, now let's move on. Let's look at wickedness. Wickedness is evil that becomes a way of thinking and living. There is evil. But when evil becomes a way of living, we call that what? Wickedness. Wickedness is intentional evil expressed in thoughts, character, words, or actions that oppose what is right, just, and good. So it goes beyond making just mistakes, which you will blame the devil. It is you choosing corruption, harm, deceit, cruelty, rebellion, or injustice. So when somebody choose to be evil and cruel, that person has gone beyond, oh, it is the devil who did it. This person is called wicked, and we have to deal with wickedness. So somebody can be evil towards you, but the person is not wicked. But when the person has chosen that this evil that I've discovered, it will be my way of life, trouble for you. Trouble for you. So when somebody does something hurtful to you, the person can change. But when the person takes interest that he will pursue that evil he has done to you as a way of life, that is his profession. Witchcraft is my profession. You know, you are finished. You are finished. So somebody can use witchcraft, okay, to cause evil in the house. And then, oh, regret. And say, oh, I'll not do it again. That person is not wicked yet. So we have kinds of witchcraft. We have the wicked ones and the evil ones. Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me? When we are done, Pastor Collins will do declarations and we'll do wickedness today. Hallelujah. The wicked one is the one who, after killing one person, has seen that, oh, this is good. Let me continue. That is wickedness. Hallelujah. Now, wickedness, biblically, is not just an act, but it's a condition of one's heart. So when one is exposed to evil, and evil takes over the person, and the person now becomes evil, condition of your heart. That was as a man thinketh. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9. So for the heart of man is desperate, what? Wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately what? Wicked. Who cannot know it? It's a condition. It's not an act. It's a condition. Amen. Now, let's look at how wickedness is expressed in human behavior. Quick. Then we'll go. Number one, lying and deception. You see, somebody can lie, okay? But when lying, when the person becomes somebody who deceives, deception is his profession. That is wickedness. Oppression of others. You know, people enjoy to see others being oppressed. Violence and cruelty is wickedness. Greed without conscience. You see, you can be greedy, but when you become greedy without your conscience, that you have become wicked. You know what that means? You will do anything to have what you want. Sexual immorality that exploits others. It is an act of wickedness to use your power, authority you have, to sleep with people before you give them what they are due. When somebody said, until I sleep with you, I'll not give you a job, that is not evil, which is what? Immorality. That is wickedness. And those people, heaven will castrate them in Jesus' name. Prideful rebellion against truth. When somebody has taken a decision to rebel against truth, that is not evil anymore. That is what? Wickedness. Enjoying evil or causing harm intentionally. That is what? Wickedness. Amen. So some of you, or let me say those of us who went to the senior high school between the years of 2006 to 2010, we know what we call wickedness is. You know one of the punishments they give us, we call it disco weeding. They'll wake you up at 1 a.m. and give you a cutlass that is blunt, and they'll give you, you have to, let's move on. The difference between evil and wickedness is, evil is the broad term for what is wrong or harmful. But wickedness is evil that is embraced, practiced, and rooted in character. Amen. So, when we talk about the throne of iniquity, which the devil sits on to operate, the nature of that throne is what I've read to you. Wickedness and what? Evil. So, when you find yourself in the territory of Lucifer's governance, don't look so far for anything. Just look for what? Wickedness and what? Evil. That is the expressions of his throne. Now, let's look at how this kingdom operates. As I said, the nature of every throne is the way of life that rules the citizens of that kingdom. Because thrones represent authority, governance, and what? And rule. Whoever sits on the throne determines, number one, the values of the kingdom. Number two, the laws that governs what? Life. Number three, the behavior expected of what? Citizens. So the Bible said, when the righteous rule, the people what? Rejoices. But when the wicked is enthroned, there is what? Wailing. Because whoever sits on the throne determines, number one, the values, the way the behavior expected of the people. So if a wicked person sits on the throne, wickedness is expected of all of you. Are you with me? So thrones are powerful. Now, when you are a citizen of a kingdom, it is expected of you to reflect what the throne is. So the Bible calls that what? The ambassadors of what? The kingdom. Do you know why the Bible required of us that we should seek the kingdom of God first and its righteousness? Because it is we who has to what? Show forth the reflection of what? The throne that governs us. So in Matthew chapter 6, I believe the verse 30 says that, seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness what? First. Because you have to reflect what rules over you. The throne. Are you with me? And in the teachings of Apostle Paul, he calls us as what? Ambassadors of what? The throne, the kingdom we what? We come from. If throne defines a kingdom, and a kingdom defines the lifestyle of its citizens, then the devil's kingdom can only be seen through the lifestyle of what? Its citizens. So now let's trace citizens of what? The devil's kingdom. At the end of the day, I will end with you to see. You see, you know the throne. You know the nature of the throne now. How do the citizens of that kingdom express what? Now, the nature that citizens of the kingdom express in this ruler's world, the Bible described them as those who walk in what? In darkness. 1 John chapter 1 verse 16. So, if you want to know somebody who belongs to this kingdom, the kingdom of the devil, the world, the Bible says you are of the world. The first thing is that they walk in what? Darkness. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which you have seen. That's the 1 John chapter 1 verse 6. Check verse 16 for me, but I'll check it again. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. Yes. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice what? The truth. So the citizens of this kingdom, they walk in what? Darkness. Number two, the Bible calls them children of what? Disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. Are you following? The course of this world. according to the prince of the power of what? The air. The spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. So if you want to know the citizens of this world, which I'm talking about, the throne of iniquity, if you want to see the citizens who are part of it, one of the things you see that they are children of disobedience. Now, how did they become citizens? Let's look at it quickly. The first step to become a citizen of this kingdom is being enslaved by sin. This is where the slave master comes in. I told you that Lucifer's desire was to what? Own a place, to become God of it. Now, when he owns a place, he needs a throne to rule. Now, when the throne has been set in place, there must be people who reflect what the throne is. And those people are those we call children of what? Disobedience and what? Those who walk in darkness. How did they become that? The truth of the matter is that Lucifer does not have the authority to create any man. He doesn't own any man. So for someone to belong to his system, it means that there are procedures that the person has to go through to be part of it. Now the first step is that the people who are part of this kingdom are enslaved by what? Sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 16. Let's read the scripture. It said, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are the one's slave whom you obey? Whether of what? Sin leading to what? Death. Or of obedience leading towards righteousness. So, the first point is that you present yourself as what? A slave to what? How do you become? It's simple. Sin, which is an inward rebellion and an outward practice of living apart from God, that is what sin is, can grow into bondage if you obey. So if you continuously become rebellious to what? Go apart from God, that rebellion what? Will arrest you and make slave out of you. So sin is one of the good friends of the devil. He doesn't joke with it. That is why you see that one of the greatest investments of Lucifer is to create space for sin to have expression. Do you know why somebody is willing to sponsor a secular artist of at least $1 million to host a free show at Accra Sports Stadium where all kinds of drinks, especially now what they do is that free for the ladies? Are you with me? Do you know what? It's because Lucifer has to sponsor sin. When he sponsors sin, sin will deliver something for him. That is, he's going to get slaves from what? Sin. So don't be surprised that people are more interested in sponsoring. It's Lucifer, his agent, his people. He has the people he has to use them to sponsor sin. That's why you see iniquity. That's why in the last day, iniquity shall what? Abound. Because his days are numbered. He has to work fast. He needs more slaves. So the first way people become part of this kingdom is that they work them out to become what? Slaves. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you become slaves, the slave now is that somebody owns you. Sin what? Owns you. Now this is the fact. When you become a slave of sin, he hands you over to a master called devil, who takes you into what? Captivity. So the first thing is that you become slave of sin, then you have a master. Now, there's a difference between the one who enslaved you and the one who enforces the slavery on you. Now, when slavery was practiced in West Africa, or let me say in Africa, it was not the white person who were going to arrest the people. You remember that some people were having another concern of the issue that our president raised at UN. That they believed that it was not only the slave owners who were participants in the act of the slavery, that the kings, the chiefs, and the individuals in Africa were also a contributing factor. Now, this is how it works. They are the ones who will arrest you and bound you into the slavery. Do you understand? Condemn you into what? Slavery. That's what sin does. But when they condemn you, there are things that you have to do to show that you are a slave. What you do, you have to go to what we call captivity. So, in captivity is where slavery is what? Practice. That's why a slave is what? A captive. Are we on the same page? Now, for captivity to have effect, there must be a place and somebody to enforce it. So, when sin arrests you, When you continuous practice, you continuous the practice of sin, rebellion against God, rebellion against the things of God, you continue in them, and sin takes hold of you, puts you into bondage. He has to find a place for your captivity. And Lucifer takes over from there. He becomes what? The master. That's why he becomes what? The slave. What? So Lucifer is a person who holds you in captivity. Then sin holds you into what? Slavery. Let's move on. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 20. Let's read something about it. He takes you into captivity to live out the full demands of what? Your slavery. So when you are in captivity, you are living the full demands of the slavery you have what? Signed into. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of what? The devil. Having been taken captive by him to do what? His will. So the snare of the devil is the snare of sin. He used sin to what? Set trap for you. And when sin gets hold of you, he has gotten you. Because when sin has enslaved you, the next option is to give you to who? What? Ensure the captivity. Hallelujah. Okay. So now how people become evil and wicked is the process I'm showing you. First, they are enslaved by sin. Second, the devil takes them to captivity to live the fullness of that bondage of sin. Third, he takes you to his kingdom called world, where you will fully live up to your captivity unless you are rescued. So the Bible said, Paul said that, and God has called me, anointed me, that I should go and rescue people from the kingdom of what? Darkness, and bring them. So the thing is that when he tells you that until you have lived the fullness, until you are rescued, you will live the fullness of your captivity. And I'll show you the fullness of your captivity. So when somebody is enslaved by sin, which are expressions of evil, the person is taken into captivity, and you see that the person will graduate from evil to wickedness. And I tell you, you will live the fullness of your wickedness until what? You get rescued. Unless you are rescued, this captivity ends when you lose your soul. So the ultimate goal of the captivity is to make you what? Lose your soul. The Bible said that the devil, or the Babylonian system, in the book of Revelation, he said he trade in the souls of men. To lose your soul, it means that now the devil has complete control of your will, your emotion, your intellect. And he is able to use it to execute everything he wants. That at the day that you die, God will not even find a recognition for you. Are you with me? So you see that people are giving their will to the devil, their mind, everything to the devil. That is the complete goal of what? Their captivity. So until the devil takes full control of your soul, that's the end goal of captivity. Unless you are rescued. If you're not rescued, you will surely have a fool of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, the evil and wickedness men portray is the revelation of where they belong, which is the world. 1 John chapter 5 verse 19. The Bible said the world lied in the embrace of what? The wicked one. And who they are? Captives of the devil, slaves of what? Sin. Amen. Now, let's go to the final part of what I'm talking about today. Have you been able to follow me? So the nature of the war we are dealing with is because of the throne that the one who is into the war sits upon. The throne manifests evil and wickedness. And every throne must get people who have to live to what manifests the reality of that throne. So there is a way he gets people into it, through the procedures I've given you. So whenever you see somebody evil and wicked, know that the person is first of all a slave of sin, a captive of the devil, living in what? The world of wickedness. That's why you see that in places where Christianity is not, wickedness is the order of the day. Check. I don't want to mention things, but some of you believe that wickedness is predominant at Zongo than other places. True of us? It's predominant there. Go to places that, see, go to voter range in my area there. Then you know that we have true spiritual evil and wickedness in high places. Do you know somebody can kill you because you drank two tots of apetesi than him? Have you heard of tukpe? They'll give it to you right now. Simple. So you see, when Christianity You see, what people are not rescued? You see, what Christian does, we rescue people. The Bible says he has translated us from the kingdom of all darkness into the marvelous light of all his son. So when Christianity is not at a place, what you see people do over there is as a result of who they are. They are slaves of sin, captives of the devil. And where they belong to a wicked place. So you can't expect them to do something otherwise. And that is the world you live in. So you are at war with wickedness and evil. Hallelujah. Now, why is this very important for us to know? It's because of one very important scripture. When Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he said something that was very important. He said, "And deliver us from what? Evil." Deliverance comes through warfare. For someone to be delivered is warfare. That means that there's an ongoing. So let's look at it. God never created this world to suffer wickedness and evil, or neither should it be used to express evil and wickedness. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, the Bible says, "And God created all things and saw that all he created is what? Is good." So God never created man as an expression of evil. Nothing did God create. The water, the antwoord they are using, God never created it to be used for expression of evil. The egg, harmless as it is. It was never created to be used to destroy somebody's life by curse. So the statement that Jesus made, I told them that, and deliver us from evil, is because the nature that God used in creating this world, which are seek independence through the allies of man and devil, the things that they are doing is nowhere close to what they were created for. But Lucifer, through his act of war, has subjected God's creation to evil and wickedness as a way to get back at God. So in John chapter 10, verse 10, can you give me that scripture? You see, the Bible made it clear that John chapter 10, verse 10. Listen to what the Bible said about this. Lucifer has decided to get back at God by changing the nature of the things he created as expressions of evil and wickedness and use them and also destroy them. So the thief, he stole the kingdom. He stole it from man. Simple. The thief. This thief here is not the one who jumped your window. This one is a clever one. He does it legally, that if you want to take it back, you have to go legal means. Does not come except what? To steal and to kill and to what? Destroy. And what God say? God said, "I have come that you may have life." That is what God have for what? And that they may have it more abundantly. So the devil, God never, this is what the devil has done to what God created. God's purpose is restoration of the earth, which he revealed in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 to 31. When Lucifer messed things up in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 1 and 2, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, God restored the order again when the Holy Spirit moved. He said, "Let there be light." God restored. Because God's interest and purpose for his creation is what? Restoration. Are we on the same page? And you can see that even in the future, God will still do what? Restore. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Let's read that scripture. Very important. This earth, the purpose for God, this one, this earth we are talking about, and all the creation with God's agenda is always to bring restoration to it. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. No what? Sorrow. Not crying. There shall be not more pain. For the former things have what? Passed away. So even in the future, God will seek to restore us. That is God's ideal interest for us. Therefore, anytime evil and wickedness fills the earth and creation cries to God, he sent deliverance to the earth to bring judgment upon evil and what? Wickedness. The first time God did this was in Genesis chapter 6. So let's go back to the scripture we read. I'll be wrapping up soon. And God will wipe away. Are we still at Revelation chapter 21? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, where we read 2:8. Now, then the Lord saw the weakness of what? Man was great in the act, and every intent and thought of his heart was evil continually. Now, you find out that creation started crying because, see, they were the victims of man's wickedness. Do you know that as we are talking right now, the rivers are crying to God because of wickedness of Galamsey? That's why last time I told you that this horn of wickedness in Galamsey, it will take more than guns and military and everything. Prayer is required. We have to join creation to cry. Deliverance will come. When man became too wicked, God couldn't bear it. He said, I have to clear this wickedness. Because creation was crying, oh, deliver us from this evil. And the Bible says he found a man called Noah. God always have a remnant. And Noah was the leader, the head of creation. As at that time, lining up to the righteousness of God. And he was crying, oh, deliver us from what? Evil. Therefore, anytime a believer prays, Matthew chapter 6 verse 13, the believer grants God permission to do two things, which I'm wrapping up with. And that is how we deal with this warfare of wickedness. I hope you are able to follow me. You see, that scripture there, and deliver us from evil, it is to grant God permission to help us rescue ourselves from what? Wickedness and evil. Number one, whenever we cry unto God that deliver us from evil, we permit God to offer protection for those that are his. Psalm 91. The Bible says, he that dwells in what? The secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Can we read? Let's go. I want to show you. Whenever we cry to God that deliver us from evil, what we are saying is that, oh God, offer protection for us. Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now look at the cry for deliverance. I will say of the Lord, he is my heart, refuge. What is refuge for? Now, refuge is a place where when somebody is being pursued by evil and somebody seeks to do harm to the person runs to refuge. So, in the culture of the people of Israel, there was a town set aside that should somebody do evil and people chase the person to kill or cause harm to the person. And by so doing, the person find he or herself in that town, you can't touch the person because the place is what? Refuge. Protection. It protects the person. It becomes an immunity. Now, if I commit crime here and the government of Ghana wants to kill me and I enter the U.S. embassy, they can't touch me. It's a refuge. And I can seek what we call asylum. Are you on the same page? So whenever we cry that, oh God, deliver us from evil, what we are saying that he is my heart, refuge and what? Fortress, protection. My God, in him will I trust. Now watch how that protection works. So at this warfare, one of the things we do is that we cry for deliverance. Now God deliver us. Protection, protection, protection. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. My God, in him will I trust. The next verse, let's go. See how the deliverance comes. Surely he will do what? You see that? So anytime we pray, when you are, you see, the warfare, God knows that Lucifer is of wickedness and evil because he has seen the things he's doing. He is getting back at God to destroy what God owns, destroy his kingdom that he has taken from him. He wants to make sure that God pays for it dearly by casting him out. But God has a heart of restoration for his creation. So anytime creation cries out to God, man cries out that, oh God, you are my refuge and fortress. Quickly, what happens? He shall deliver you from the snare of what? The fowler. And from the perilous what? Pestilence. Continue. He shall cover you with what? Feathers. And under his wings you shall take what? Refuge. His truth shall be your shield and what? Continue, continue. I want to show you something. We are at war. And this is how we handle. The nature of the warfare is that we need to seek refuge. You shall not be afraid. Alama vasala kadaya. Oh, ranama valaba soyanda. You see, the reason why many of us are caught up in fear is because we think that wickedness will prevail. Not over everyone. Even though the nature of the world we are facing is wickedness and evil, the Lord knows that those that are his. And when those that are his cry unto him, that, oh God, deliver us from evil, I said, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. There are terrors. I said there are terrors. Because that throne of iniquity is to release terror. He governs his throne through terror. But I said, no terror of night shall put fear in you. Because there's fortress around you. And I pray for you right now. We are in war. May the fortress of God be strengthened around you. The Bible said the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth unto him and is safe. Nor of the arrows that flies by day. See, you walk up and you walk around because you have no worry of any arrow. Arrow of kidney disease. Arrow of premature death. Arrow of poverty. Arrow of sickness. I said, we are covered in the name of Jesus. We don't belong to that kingdom. You see, the Bible says we have been rescued. See, we have been rescued from his kingdom of darkness in the marvelous light. And in that place, protection is assured. So although we are in the world, a world ruled by wickedness and evil, but because we cry that, deliver us, oh God, from evil, we walk throughout the day without fear. Let's continue. Psalm 91 is very powerful. Nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness. See, when God said, in darkness I'll be with you. Nor of the destruction that lays waste at what? Noonday. When the Bible said sufficiency is evil for the day, have you seen how it has been broken down? So in the afternoon, there is destruction waiting for you. In the day, arrows are flying. In the night, terrors are working. So where is your escape? That is why if you don't have God and you are not covered, something will surely deal with you in the course of the day. This is the war we are facing. If that destruction at noon will come at you, or arrows in the day will take you, or terrors of night will come after you. But we thank God for Christ. We thank God for Christ. So this is the nature of the warfare ongoing. Wickedness or what? Evil. A thousand may fall at your side. That is what you will see too. And 10,000 at your right hand. But none shall come near thee because you cried for what? Deliverance. Only in the eyes. Listen to what he said. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of what? I pray for you. You shall not participate in the reward of the wicked, but you shall witness their reward. I said this year, you will not participate in the reward of the wicked, but you shall witness the reward meted on the wicked. The Bible said the wicked is like a chaff and the wind shall blow it away. And I pray that every wickedness, because you have made the Lord your host. Oh, let's read that part. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High. Have you seen what he said here? The what? Most High. Keyword. Inasmuch as Lucifer tries to be the Most High, he's not the Most High. We have made the Most High, the one who still possesses this earth and heaven. Even though you still maneuver your things over here, we have made him your dwelling place. Let's continue. No evil shall befall you. I'm prophesying into your life. I said no evil shall befall you. This war that we are, I said no evil shall befall you. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. I said no plague. If the economy is crashing down, you are not part of it. I said you are not part of it. If sicknesses are taking household, I said you are not part of it. There will be darkness in Egypt, but there will be light in Goshen. Because we have made the Most High our dwelling place. Wickedness shall continue in this world, but we know the stand we have in this warfare. Oh, Vala Masune Kabrasaya. Last one. Let me read the last part, then we move on. For he shall give his angels in charge of you to keep you in all your ways. When you continue, you will see. So the reason why the believer can live in this world. And let me tell you, do you know why Jesus, let's go to the book of John chapter 17 verse 15 to buttress this one. The reason why Jesus comfortably left us in this world, because of this very scripture. Because he knows that whenever we cry that deliver us from evil, Psalm 91 will be activated. Listen to what Jesus said. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Can you just imagine? See, he knows the world, the wickedness in the world, evil. Then Jesus, so please, if you are praying that God will take you out of this world, I'm sorry. Jesus already prayed a prayer that has negated your prayer. It will not work. You are praying that you don't want to work at that company. You are praying that God should change the job for you. I'm sorry. Jesus prayed a prayer in John 17:15 that they should keep you in that place. Oh, me, I don't want to be in politics. There is no evil. Jesus has already prayed a prayer that you should be kept there. Where are you going? Why are you running to? Now, the issue is that Jesus has already prayed this prayer. When I was studying this and I saw this scripture, I said, oh, Eradu, why are you, Jesus? Pastor Collins, there's any Nikasa. Well, there's no any other prayer that you can pray to negate this prayer. So I see some of you are praying, Lord, take me out, change my job. And Jesus says, go and tell him that I've prayed this prayer. The job will not be changed. I sent you there. You have to survive. You have to learn to survive there. But you shall keep them from the evil one. So Jesus already prayed Psalm 91 for you. So don't be afraid at that workplace. He can go to Nongokpo for the powers. He can go and do whatever they want to do. They can plan and plot. But I said, Jesus has prayed for you. Because as long as the believer cries for deliverance and delivers, I tell you, Psalm 91 will be activated. Angels will come into your rescue. I am telling you to step into this war and be bold enough to take the devil by the horn. Because you are already insured. The war is a war of wickedness. It is not waiting for you. You don't need to step on the devil's foot before he comes after, because the whole system is of wickedness. Do me, I do you. That kind of believer's mindset. Hemi, I don't want to offend the devil. You already offended him. You don't know. The moment God created you, an offense to him. You already. So what I see, the worst part is that when you come born again, you are the number one target. The devil hates every human. But those who are born again, you are the number one target. So me, Hemi said, hey, today we are taking the crisis, and the AB will come. Shoot your right hand up. Today we are dealing with this. Said me, I don't want to pray some. I don't want my family witches to know I'm praying against them. They are already doing you. They are working you. Working you well. So the thing is, you have been prayed for. Now believers are scared to venture some business, all in the name of that place is evil. Have you read John 17:15? I've read it. He said, I didn't pray that you take them out of the world. When God send you, they go. I have no fear one to go anywhere God will send me. I know that I am secured. The only thing is, I dwell in what? He that dwell in what? The secret place. As long as I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, take me to the hideous part of wickedness, it will not harm me. Go and possess the world. I said, go and possess the world. You can also be the sea. See, Paul, don't be afraid. Prophet Jericho, you possess the world. There's nothing to be afraid of. So Jesus was so comfortable to pray this prayer for us that I did not pray that you take them out of the world, but keep them from evil. Keep them from what? The word of God can never lie. Dwell in the secret place. And I tell you, the warfare of wickedness, it will not have any effect on you. The war is still going on. Wickedness is abounding every day. People are saying, why are people going to war? Why are people dying? Why is this happening here? But the throne that is governing this system is the throne of wickedness. And what do you expect to happen? What do you expect to happen? My love, Agazasaya. Last one. Whenever we pray, and we ask God to deliver us from evil, not only does he come to protect us, he brings judgment. He does what? He brings judgment. Evil and wickedness is judged in order to minister deliverance. So the Bible says, He that ascended out descended. And what? He led captives what? Captive. Judgment has been brought on Lucifer. Your job is to enforce it. So whenever we go to pray that deliver us from evil, we are also taking our stand to enforce judgment. The judgment that has been meted on him. You see, that when I get to the part of the adverse, you understand what I'm talking about here. But anytime we pray and we say that deliver us from evil, what we are saying, that Lord, judgment should be meted here. We give permission for judgment. So one day a man called Elijah, after seeing the wickedness of Jezebel and his 400 priests, said, "Today judgment must fall. He went and lifted up his voice and prayed and said, "If Baal be Baal, let us worship him. But if God is God." And then he proved. When he finished, he met the judgment on the altar. Every wickedness that is ruling your family, every wickedness that has taken domicile in your life, I declare in the name of Jesus. Though the war is of nature of wickedness and evil, because we have made the Most High our place of dwelling, today we cry that, "Oh God, let there be deliverance. And let that deliverance come in the form of judgment." We judge every wickedness in our family. We pronounce judgment on them right now in the name of Jesus. Every form of judgment, either by fire or by water, we declare in the name of Jesus, you are judged, O spirit of poverty. Oh, you are judged, O spirit of barrenness. We declare judgment on you. O spirit of premature death, we declare the judgment of God on you. That, oh, by the power of God, we judge you and your works. You will not prevail. You will not prevail against these ones. You will not prevail against this church. You will not prevail against us who dwell in the secret place of the Lord. We declare judgment over you. This war we are taking over her, and we will prevail in this war in the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to rise up in 2 minutes. I want us to pray. Mavela makosaya bahaya. Ora bababa shatakaya. Elabranda masota lakaya. Antila masanda, ora baba basonde kata, ilanda bala baba saya, iyanda baba lakadaya, ora sende breka bala baba baba. Let wickedness see no daylight. Let it fall like tender. Jesus, I saw devil fall like a lightning. We are praying that let every wickedness that is cooked in the realms of the spirit against us, oh Matila Kabaya, let it fall like the lightning. Lebrano Shele Kapa, Ayapalapa, Adinia no Shaya, Apele, Adine Nepala Basaya, Ayana Mako, Yabala Sende, Adula Baboa, Ayabrana Lakaya, Ayalapa. Ayala paya, ayana manosaya, adini ni ande kapa, adelelelele, apata la paya, adolo mosaya, ilende paya. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Ha. I pray for you. Judgment is coming to your home today. The Bible said, and God said to Moses, "At night I will walk through the land of Egypt, and their firstborn," he said, "at midnight I will deal with them." Anybody that has held you captive, anything that belongs to you that the devil has taken hold of it, I said, tonight the angel of the Lord will walk through. He said, "The angel of the Lord will walk through your household." I declare that the angel of the Lord should walk through your household. I release judgment on them in the name of Jesus. This war, anything that has been good against us, I declare judgment upon it in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. Let the protection of the Lord upon your life be doubled. It doesn't matter how evil and wicked the place you work. I pray for you today. We know the kind of war we are facing. He says that, "I didn't pray that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one." I said, "No evil shall befall you." Prophet Jericho, I pray for you. No evil shall befall you in that judicial system. Wickedness that are now cooked. Now people are taking lawyers onto all kinds of places. But I said, the protection of the Lord is upon you. All the civil servants over here, any wickedness that is prepared, cooked against you, I declare it nullified in the name of Jesus. May the angels of the Lord around you surround you like the walls, like the mountains that surround Jerusalem. No evil shall befall you. I said, no evil shall befall you. No evil shall befall you. No evil shall befall you.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.